Is it just Astronomy Tower?
Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Astronomy Tower Hour. Please welcome your hosts, Lane, Jen, and Bridget.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
How's it going, everybody?
It's been good.
Yeah,
it's going to be a dangerous night, just me and Lane so far.
Yep. Jennifer isn't feeling very well tonight, so we send out lots of candy and gumdrops over to her.
Yes.
Tell her to feel better.
Yes, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope everybody likes us.
Yep.
I'm like, well, you're stuck with us. But for now, since it's just the two of us, we're going to be doing a shorter show. Only 30 minutes, but we can go longer. Say if we do get more listeners talking to us, we'll stay on for a little bit longer. But if it's just us, her and I are a very bad combination for a live show. So that's why we chose to do a little bit of a shorter show.
Yep.
So how's it going, Bridget? How was your day?
It's good. I've been thinking about my book, hopefully waiting for the next book to come out.
Is there a third one coming out on yours?
Yeah, there's going to be four of them. It's
wow.
Next one's called Eclipse. Oh, such a good book.
Yeah. Bridget has been reading the books Twilight and then the second book, New Moon, some
that's
kind of vampire book. I'm going to start reading them when she decides to let me borrow them. So I'll
because she has to remember to remind me to give them to her.
Yeah, I need to get into this huge hype that's going on.
Because
I have heard nothing but good things about these books, so.
I couldn't put them down. Like, I stopped to hang out with my friend one day, and the whole time I was thinking, I want to go read. And I actually made up an excuse and kind of left them read.
Wow.
Even I was there, like, all day. But then I went to read. It's like one of those books that you yell at when you put it down.
Yeah, because you want it to keep going.
Yeah. Well, it's just because it gives you the first chapter of the next book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, well, even though this is kind of like far from our topic of today.
Hey, you never know. Someone might call to talk about Twilight or Eclipse.
Yeah, that's true.
Or the New Moon.
Yep. Our topic for tonight's show is going to be sword and sandal films.
Yeah.
I know I've said this to a lot of people, and they're kind of like, okay, well, what are those? And
basically,
I even found something on Wikipedia that talks about sword and sandal, and I'm just going to read this really quick. Sword and sandal films are a genre of adventure or fantasy films that have subjects set in biblical or classical antiquity, often with contrived plots based very loosely on mythology or history. So any movies like Gladiator, 300, King Arthur, Troy, very, you know, movies based on history. Oh, we have a caller coming in.
Yes, we do. Who is it?
All righty. I'll answer it right now.
Can I ask them who they are and stuff?
Hello, welcome to Astronomy Tower Hour. You're
calling.
Listening to Lane and Bridget.
What's up?
How's it going?
You guys are freaking awesome.
Sweet.
This is my third time to listen to you guys. You guys are awesome.
Wow, thank you very much.
Yes. That's what Lane said. And then you get 10 points.
So, what's your name and where are you from?
What?
What's your name and where
are
you from?
Your name and where are you from?
My name's Samantha. I'm from Arizona.
Oh, really? Well, that's cool. Well, it's nice to meet you, Samantha.
Nice to meet you, too, you guys. I'm, like, really excited. I've wanted to talk to you guys for a while now.
Well, that's awesome. We are really glad you called.
Yes. Well,
sorry, we're not very active right now.
Well, I was going to ask you a question, actually.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Since we were just talking about those Eclipse and New Moon and Twilight. Have you read any of them?
Yeah.
Are they
I'm obsessed
Eclipse?
With them.
Okay.
Yes. Are you going to go to the book signing if you want?
August 18th, Tempe.
Yes, ma'am.
Holy cow. See, I feel so bad I'm out of the loop.
You seriously
get.
Need to read these books.
Okay.
You won't put them down.
You will be addicted.
Yeah, they're like a drug.
Okay, well, good. That makes me feel better because I'm hopefully getting them tomorrow. So.
Get them tomorrow.
They are the best books.
Okay.
I've ever read in my entire life. They're better than Harry Potter.
Oh my gosh!
That's exactly what Bridget said. Yes, it is.
Bridget, you have some good taste, my friend.
Yes, I do. Actually, my friend Katrina told me about them. And I borrowed her first one. I couldn't put it down. And as soon as I finished, it was like 3-something in the morning. And I had to call her and tell her and try to get the next book, but she told me I had to wait till the next day. And then I went shopping and I found them. And Lane saw me go all psyched when I tried to get them.
It was funny because she kind of like zoned in. She's like, there's the books. And she went running and grabbed them both. And she's like, okay, I'm happy now.
When I went to get the second book, I was so excited when I got them. They were all stacked up perfectly in front of the store. And I was like, whoa, this is a sign from a book.
That's so awesome. Oh. See, I'm getting all excited.
Hello?
Oh, yeah, we're here.
I was going to say about this part, but it's kind of a spoiler.
Oh, don't spoil me. I'll smack you if you spoil it.
Yeah,
don't spoil it for her because she could read it, and then you guys could do a podcast on it.
Which is most likely what we'll do because Bridget has done nothing but talk about it since she's read it.
Yeah.
Oh, trust me. Anybody I can find to talk about these books, I find them.
Okay, well, that's probably what our next show next Sunday is going to be about, so.
I will so call in, my friend.
Okay.
I will call in.
Okay, that sounds awesome.
She has overtaken Domino and Matt since they did call last weekend. She is now number one.
Yes. Samantha is very cool.
You're number
one.
Yes. Number one.
Yeah, we totally got dissed last Sunday.
Yeah, like a smack in the face.
Why? We didn't get any callers, so we were kind of bummed out, but...
Oh, that's
You've made our day much better, we promise.
You guys will hear from me so much more, too.
Okay, well, that's great. We so thank you for calling in. We really love to hear from people like you.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you.
All right, well, keep listening.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
See ya. Okay, we should probably get back on our topic, huh?
Yeah, that's awesome. Oh, it makes me feel so good to hear from callers like that. So, Bridget, what do you think? Is it going to be a longer show?
Possibly.
Yeah. Wow. See, well, Bridget, look at you. You have a fan base going right now.
Oh, yeah.
I need these books. Bring them to work tomorrow.
I'll bring them.
Okay, I will even text you. So, I can't believe it. Usually I'm in this whole circle, but I'm so out of it. It makes me feel sad.
Yes, ma'am.
But yeah, okay, so we're going to get back to our topic of sword and sandal movies. We're going to first start off with one that I think really started it for this new age or whatever, as soon as the 2000s came to place. Gladiator, starring Russell Crowe, was a huge impact. I think it really just birthed like all the rest of these movies. Because it was so successful, and that it also won an Academy Award for Best Picture.
Yeah, it did.
It kind of started this, it's a snowball effect, you know. Gladiator was the one to start it, and then after that...
The lead actor was dead hot.
That's true, too. And he also did such a fantastic job, you know, of getting you into the movie. Oh, it was just fantastic. But I really do. Gladiator is what I think really started it for the new millennium, and then it just kind of snowballed from there and produced movies such as Troy and King Arthur, and then the latest one, 300.
I have a few things about Troy myself.
Yeah, definitely. We'll definitely go through each of these movies and talk about what we like about them so much. Different little sections that we also like, you know, our favorite fight scenes. You know, what was the good and the bad. Yeah, so definitely if anybody tuned into our Pirates 3 review, this one is going to be kind of like that, where we go through and re-review it. So I guess we'll just start off with the one that started it all. We'll talk about Gladiator.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely this movie is one of my favorites. My older sister...
You brought it to school that one day, and we watched it together, and with Joey.
Yeah, we did. We watched Gladiator, but... Seriously, I mean, when I was little, this was, what, like 7 years ago? Did it come out in 2000?
2001, didn't it?
Yeah, I think one of those two. I mean, my sister and I, we went and saw it in the theater like 4 times. And it was just, yeah, it was just, I mean, she loved it. And then, of course, you know, her going got me into it. And so I couldn't stop watching it. It was just such a fantastic story that it went through, you know.
Yeah.
I loved it. And plus, you know, nobody had really, you know, they'd done Gladiator movies, but nothing was really done like this before.
Well, speaking of your sisters, when are you going to call tonight, hopefully?
She is. She's calling in. That's what I've heard.
She better be.
Yeah. So we'll be hearing hopefully from my sister and hear what she thinks about these movies.
Sweet. Oh, just for Wendy's sake, Susan Blasey votes for Susan Blasey.
The legacy continues. But yeah, for Gladiator, it just, you know, it was just awesome how they kind of, you know, he was the general of the Roman troops, but he kind of has this softer side. He's not really into war, but he does it because it's his duty and for his love for the emperor.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's kind of, see, nobody had really done a story like that where, you know, this guy is a fighter, a very excellent fighter, yet he also has a softer side to him as well.
Yeah.
You know, they always, all the older movies done on Gladiators were always very one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
Type of character.
Either he's a fighter or he's just a lover. Or he's just nothing and it's just kind of boring.
Well, see, he first starts out, I mean, he is like fighter, lover, but he chooses to be more of a lover than a fighter because, you know, he has a family and he cares, you know, more about that and he fights just because it's his duty.
Yeah.
And then, but then you get, of course, the emperor's son comes in, murders the emperor. But you know what I thought was so cool? You know what's so cool about that part is that I loved that Maximus, the main character who becomes the gladiator, he acts from the get-go, he knows that it was the son that killed the emperor.
Yeah.
That's what I think is so cool because, you know, usually movies like that, the guy, it takes like him the whole movie to figure out that it was him that did it. But right off the bat, he knows. That's what I loved about that. I'm like, wow, you know, this character already knows what's going on. It's just like, and it throws you in, you know. But another thing that shocked me, you know, they killed his family and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, man, you know.
Seems like you grow your hatred towards the son even more and more.
Yeah. And it's cool how you go on this journey with him because you, all the expressions and the emotions that he goes through, you feel that with him. You know, from the beginning, you know, when he finds his family dead, you feel that sorrow. And then when he's sold into the desert to become, you know, a first-time gladiator, you know, you're feeling that kind of like, you know, this is a new thing now and you don't know what to expect. And then you're thrown into the arena with him and you're fight, you know, and you're going into this fight. It's a really good story that just kind of tosses you in there and you're in it too. Very few movies can do that.
Yeah.
Where you're into the story like that. I don't know if you felt that way with it, but like every time I watch it, it's like I'm just tossed right into the storyline. Even with how many times I've seen it, every time I watch it, it's like I feel like I'm in the story. But yeah, oh, it's such a fantastic movie. And anybody who hasn't seen it, seriously, watch it.
Go watch it.
Yeah, and even though like many of the characters are just fictitious, as far as, like, the gladiator parts, you know, fighting in the Colosseum, that stuff is real. You know,
and they actually did have to vote whether or not they lived or died.
Oh, yeah. You know, they had to, they
that
were all, yeah, traitors to the Roman Empire and criminals and all that were thrown into this giant arena, and they had to fight against tigers. And, you know, they had people that would go out and find, like, the weirdest animals, lions, panthers, rhinos, elephants, and they would actually have them battle against them because this is what they considered entertainment back in those times.
Yeah, you have to remember, back then they also had the hangings. People would go watch people beheaded, etc. Like, all that's gone through history as well.
Yeah, it was a very, very gruesome time. And that's what they thought was entertainment.
Yeah, and then some parts, not just that time, I don't remember, when the plague was going around, they couldn't really go see plays and like movies or like theater because they're afraid they would catch it.
Yep.
So they would go to places more spacious. They could be able to absorb stuff.
Yeah, and the Colosseum is definitely one of those places. Last November, I was actually lucky enough to go into the Colosseum And I don't know, my sister and I both agreed because we went in there, and the way Gladiator, you know, portrays the Colosseum is something like huge, huge, huge. And like I will say, you know, the Colosseum is very big now, and I know that over time, you know, it has dwindled. But, oh, we actually have a call coming in right now. All righty, we'll take this call. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
How's it
going?
What's
going on? It's not a whole lot. What's going on?
Nothing. You picked a good part. I was just talking about
Gladiator.
Oh, okay. It's a fantastic movie.
Yeah, we were talking about when we went to the Colosseum and how Gladiator portrays the Colosseum as something really big, but once you get in there, I mean, it's still big, but
it's not as big as you think it is.
Yeah. I don't know. You think it's something like the Empire State Building, huge, huge.
Yeah, and it's just not as big as you think it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was funny. Bridget was just saying, is Wendy going to call? Is Wendy going to call?
Yep.
Yes. You know what, though, Wins? You are probably our second caller tonight.
Yes,
ma'am. Really?
Yeah, we actually had Samantha from Arizona called us. And
oh,
said
okay.
She loves us, and she thinks that we're awesome.
Yeah, me
That's
too.
She loves those books I was reading, the second book. And the first book I read, the one I was reading at your house, your apartment, the tenant's apartment thing, the book
yeah.
I bought. So she likes those books too.
Oh, okay.
They're like a drug and better than Harry Potter. Like I don't get people, so many people hating me right now.
Yeah, Wins, you and I have to read these books apparently because we're out of the loop.
Okay.
Them.
See, when Lane's done with it, she can give it to you, and then when you're done with it, then I can get it back.
Sounds good. Sounds good. I just ordered 4 books online about the secrets behind Disneyland.
Oh. We need her hidden Mickeys.
Yes, me and my hidden Mickeys.
Are they dirty secrets?
No.
Oh.
Okay, so back on the subject, Wins. What do you like about Gladiator?
Everything.
Okay.
I like how real to life.
Hot and they're sexy.
Well, that too. That too, but I like how real to life the story was, because that's really how it was back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just kind of fought to live, you know, and after you fought so many battles and won, then they, you know, you were able to go off and do whatever, you know, you were allowed to do, or if you got killed, then you got killed, and that was just the end of it.
Yep,
that's very true. That was funny, because I just said that, too.
Oh, okay.
5 minutes before you called, I was explaining
how
the story was just like, see, great minds think alike.
Yep.
Or that, or you were listening earlier and you stole what I said.
Nope.
Did you know you can listen
to
us live?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I just found that out, actually.
You can listen
to
us live.
How do I do that?
You go on blogtalkradio.com.
Uh-huh.
And they have a little search box where you type in our name, Astronomy Tower Hour. You click on that. And it'll actually has a little button where it says listen to the show live. And
oh,
then you
okay.
Click on that and it's listening just like to a radio show.
Now, how do they record this? I mean, how do I listen to this later or am I just out of luck?
Nope. They're recording it now as we speak.
Oh, okay.
And also you can download it off the Blog Talk Radio site.
Okay.
Right, as soon as after we're done with this show, it'll automatically be put
be
up.
Able to...
So, yeah. So you can
okay.
listen to it. In that, and you can listen to our other 2 shows as well.
Okay.
The Pirates one and the Harry Potter one that we did.
Cool.
Yep. So that's cool. Our next subject's going to be Troy. So.
Oh. Well, we all know how I felt about that one.
I'm going to get yelled at in this one.
Yeah. Well, we're all probably going to get yelled at because still I have yet to find what everybody likes about that movie.
Yeah, that makes 2 of us.
3. My favorite part of the movie, I'm going to say this because I don't like Orlando Bloom. Don't kill me, Wendy. the fact that it proves he's a coward when he crawls away from that one guy. That's the best part.
That is one of the best parts.
That's just the way he was raised, though.
I know. But,
but just like, but I still like it.
you're taking me from the top to the bottom of the head. Happiness scale. Going up, down.
Well, I don't want to do that.
But, yeah, so you got any other things you want to add, Wynn?
No.
Okay.
No, other than you guys rock, and I love listening to your stuff.
Yay!
It's just me and Bridget tonight. Jennifer says she's not feeling very well.
Oh, okay, that's too bad.
So we sent her gumdrops and chocolate.
Sounds good. Make her feel even worse.
That's pretty much, and that's not what I'm getting at, but...
You're like, oh, you don't feel good here. This will make you puke.
Hey, puking makes
you... And then the backwash comes up.
Oh, Wendy, you forgot to... You have to do your signature thing.
What?
Remember what you were supposed to do in our first show?
Oh, Sisum Bhaji was for Sisum Bhaji.
Yes.
I'm the only one that said it this time. I made that dedicated to you when I said it. Right
there now. You go. All right.
Yeah, she even said, this is for Wendy, and then she says it.
Yeah, when I saw it again yesterday for the fourth time, I was the only one in the theater, of course, that laughed at that. I found it hysterical.
And now we will go to war. I need to find that and put that on the show.
Yes,
you
do.
Every time you call, I'll just put it on there. Be like,
there you go.
Okay. So Wendy has nothing else to add about Gladiator?
Nope, other than it was awesome.
Yeah. Does Tim have anything to say?
Nope, he's too busy playing Guitar Hero.
Oh, I see. Look at that. Hating on the show.
Tim.
Okay, well, yeah, we're going to let Wendy go then.
Okay.
But
see
we thank Wendy, yeah, we thank you for your input, and you can
okay.
call again if you want.
Sounds good.
So, yeah, have fun, enjoy,
okay.
listen, and all that jazz.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
And the love goes on.
Yes, two colors, two of them.
See, Bridget, we should be singing the Love Boat song.
Which one's that?
The love boat,
blah, blah, blah.
But yeah, Wendy pretty much said it. It's Gladiator is also, you know, a sword and sandal film that is very, very close to history. I mean, of course, like I said before, characters are fictitious, you know, and the events are, most of them are fictitious. But as far, I think so far, of watching the movie over and over, the parts when he becomes a gladiator until, you know, he's released is very, very close to history, you know, very close to history. I just don't know if I could live, you know. Could you imagine that kind of lifestyle?
Psychotic.
It would be. Like, I can understand how those people would just become animals, you know, and just, like, kill and kill and kill. Because that's how kind of how
human,
you would...
Human instinct is to survive.
Yeah. And, you know, I can't even imagine what it would be like, you know, get stuck in, because half the time they would stick, like, one gladiator in there against, like, four lions,
yeah.
you know, that were also maybe raised or, you know, trained to eat human flesh. And so
yeah, or they would be starved. Or be...
Yeah. And, well, like I said, in the movie, Gladiator, they actually show a lion being fed a human, like, arm or something. I'm like, oh, you know, so they have a taste for human flesh now, and they are, like, after you. I can't even imagine. And you're giving a little shield and a little sword. That would be insane.
But there's also the traps that are in the... that you have to fight against, too, in the field.
Uh-huh.
That's all I had to say.
Okay.
I say we should move on to 300.
You want to do 300, or you want to do Troy next?
Damn, I already did Troy.
Not really, in a sense.
Okay,
we'll move right on to Troy. Another sword and sandal movie fits perfectly into the category because it is based on the Trojan War between the Greeks and the Trojans. Bridget!
I didn't say anything.
You know, we went and saw this movie twice in the theaters. And my opinion, and I know if I'm going to cause an uproar, then I'm going to cause an uproar. I really didn't care for this movie.
You know, I barely remember it.
Yeah, I don't know, like, the highlights of the movie, I think, are like Hector and Achilles fighting. I thought that was done perfectly to a T.
And somebody being a coward.
Yeah, Menelaus versus Paris. Which is the Orlando Bloom fight where he gets his butt completely whooped. It's awesome. We love that. But I don't know. I don't know. I just if I went on and on, I'd make more people mad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that makes me angry. That movie. I don't know, you know. So many people tell me, oh, it's such an awesome movie, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, are we seeing the same movie? You know, because I just, nothing about it made me like it. Where I thought it was a good movie.
I have to admit, they have some pretty hot guys in there.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, Eric Bana, Brad Pitt, Orlando Bloom looks pretty nice with no clothes on in the beginning. But I don't know. It's just not a movie that appeals to me. Because I went in there, you know, coming from, you know, Gladiator and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
where I was like, that movie had such an awesome impact on me and made me love stuff like that. And I went in there and I was like, what is this, you know? What movie is this? You know, what are they trying to do? And I think what also made me mad, though, is that they tried to have in the background, like, the music like Gladiator had.
Yeah.
Where you heard that some kind of Arabic woman singing, you know, just, I don't know, and whoever did it, I apologize. That made it even worse. I did not like the lady singing in that movie either. I was just like, oh, what is this? But, I don't want to spend too much time on Gladiator, or not Gladiator, Troy, because I don't feel unfair. Yeah. We're going to be moving on to 300, a movie which I love to death.
Oh.
Nobody tell that I actually have a pirated version that I've had for a couple months now that we would like to thank a friend of my sister's for giving it to us. It's a wonderful version, too. It's a good quality and everything. But, this movie. Bridget, can you imagine the wonderfulness of this movie?
Nothing could be better than 300.
I just...
300 Spartan men... basically in their underwear and a cape with a sword.
Yeah.
Get any better?
Yeah.
And the best part was when he kicked that guy in the hole. He's like, what is it?
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about, because, you know, when he's talking to the messenger, blah, 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 and they come up to this hole, and I'm like, okay, why is there a giant hole in the middle of the courtyard? I mean, do they really kick people down there that often?
Probably.
I mean, you know, like, somebody gets a fight, and you're like, you suck, so they kick you down the hole. Like, does it really happen that often, where they like, had the urge to kick somebody down a hole, that they actually had to build a giant hole to kick somebody down?
Well, you have to remember, they are also, their base is fight to survive for the men. You have to remember that. So maybe it's part of the theory of if they had so many deaths, they had somewhere to put the bodies.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe that could be the purpose of the hole.
I mean, it would suck if, you know, a kid accidentally, you know, tripped and fell.
Yeah.
I was hoping, you know.
That'd probably be me.
You know, I was hoping they'd kind of have, like, a giant cover, you know, because that was in the center of a courtyard. Where there was, in the movie, you know, there's a lot of people there, and somebody who's not paying attention is going to go right down. So I was hoping maybe they just uncovered it because, you know, they thought, this is going to come in handy if we have somebody like this coming in. But, I applaud them for doing that movie. It's loosely based on 300 Spartans going against the King Xerxes of the Persians. That movie, I can't even put it into words how awesome I thought that movie.
I figured I was with that goat head. Remember when the goat head just popped out of nowhere?
The goat in the tent.
He's a Persian god.
Oh,
one of
okay.
The gods they worshipped.
That's
the movie.
You're
like, what are they on?
Yeah, and the thing, I actually had some people asking me about what's up with Xerxes, and it's what it was, is Xerxes thought he was a god himself.
Yeah.
That was his main thing. Well, no, the people in the movie, you know, who watched the movies, they were like,
yeah.
What the heck is up with Xerxes? And it's like, you know, at the end, with Leonidas throwing the spear and cutting him on the cheek, you know, they're like, well, why does that make such a big impact? Because back in those days, they didn't believe that gods could bleed.
Yeah.
And so when he actually cuts him on the lip and all the blood comes out, you know, that proves that he's not a god. So that was just fantastic. And that's what Xerxes thought he was. He wanted everybody to worship him as a god king, is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought the guy who played him did a fantastic job. And I love how they made him, like, larger than life, you know, how he was, like, 12 feet tall.
I just, like, kept picturing, like, if me and Lane stood next to him, we would look like ants. Well, Lane especially.
Yeah, I just, it was crazy.
Oh, yeah, for all the people that don't know how tall you are, Lane's pretty short. I'm actually kind of tall.
Mm-hmm.
How tall are you, Lane?
5 foot.
5 foot. Just past the booster seat level. Okay. And I'm 5'10". 5'9", 5'10". Just so people know. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I loved. And the fight scenes, you know, because I listened to a history podcast. A guy, Dan Carlin's Hardcore History is what it's called, and he even briefly goes into the story of the Spartans. And that part is actually true, where they were believed to be like these insane warriors, you know, muscled beyond belief, and they could just fight with perfection, is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the movie 300, they got it down to a T. Like, because, you know, they fight as a team, you know, and, like, each one of their strokes of their spears is perfect, you know, they have the perfect angle, they know exactly where to gut you, you know, and everything. And that's how the 300 Spartans really were. You know, Spartans were just, they were trained from the get-go, from the beginning.
Yeah, they were trained from puberty, wasn't it?
Yeah, like as soon as they turned like 10 or 12, they were just put right into battle.
Based on the puberty, you have to remember they didn't live that long then, though. Like, basic human life was, what, 40?
Late 30s, early 40s.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that's exactly what they thought, too. They thought, you know, the most glorious death was in battle.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
I remember the wall they built, the mm-hmm. mix of stone, the wall they had, the mix of stones and bodies.
Yep. Well, also with that, the 300 Spartans that did march against the Persians, they pretty much, they knew they were going to die. They knew that they were marching to their death.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they just... For the love of Sparta, you know, and the love for their king and their families, they're like, you know, this is a very glorious death for us, so that is why they went. You know, because a lot of people ask me, you know, why against such odds, you know, 300 against 1 million, even though, you know, those aren't the real numbers, why would they do this? And it's just because, you know, they thought not only was that a glorious death, but also for their love for their families. And besides, you know, they did hold their own in battle.
Well, you got to remember, even though it's those odds, you have to remember it comes to a point where how it is in life now, just with the war going on overseas. Why would someone go into the army if they knew there was war? It's for the honor of it, for the way that proves, it's like a way of proving themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, like, God bless the soldiers in Iraq right now,
mm-hmm.
at war, because you don't, especially if you're friends, you don't know if they're coming back. They do it for their honor, their belief, or maybe however they're raised, because I know everybody in my family, like all the men, are all been in Navy, Air Force, Army, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And just for the honor and for the, I don't know, the proof, like, that maybe could be a way to prove themselves? I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's just like, I mean, and back in those days, I mean, we're talking like, what, 480 BC, that's pretty much what life was, you know, is you had to know how to fight because you didn't know who was coming, you know, because they had the Persians that were just had these huge armies. He had a massive army besides his father also was known to, you know, just take over people in war. And so all these other smaller countries had to really have a strong army and good fighters. So just in case somebody, you know, came after them, they could stand up, you know, and actually have somebody to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I just love the way that's, you know, presented in 300, though.
Mm-hmm.
You see, even though, you know, it shows, well, the Persians, I kind of laugh at this, even though I shouldn't, the Persians, the modern Persians today actually got angry because of how the Persians were represented in the movie 300. And I'm like, I don't know, you know, because I guess it showed them as being, like, evil, you know, goat-worshipping people. You know? And I know I'm probably going to say this wrong and maybe angry somebody, but I don't mean to. But, I mean, you know, I know we do have some, you know, scribes, you know, have left writings from that time, but we really honestly don't know what it was like back then. It could have been like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't know. And so all we have is this, you know, these little bits and pieces of history that we put together to figure out how it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like
even
if you have a puzzle piece with some of the pieces missing, you visually see what's supposed to be there, even though it could be a different spot, similar traits, but it could be something completely different at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, and that's why I'm like, you know, people shouldn't get angry, because I mean, you know, the only people that should get angry if they actually lived during that, you know, and because they were through it and they knew how it was. But if you weren't even there, then, you know, I don't really think that's fair that you even have, you know, a backbone to talk. Because you weren't there and you don't know how it was back in those days.
They were taking it from the Spartans' point of view, not from the Persian point of view.
Well,
that's that was the meaning of the story, to take the Spartans' point of view and show how they went to the battle, show how much glory it was for them to die there, so everything from that.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's also true, but also reading... And, you know, even though they didn't do it from the Persian
view. And with the grass and stuff left behind from the Persian Wars, all the Spartans and et cetera, it just takes from that.
Yeah, and exactly. Reading, I mean, you know, I listened to the podcast. Dan Carlin was talking about, you know, how Xerxes was. And from how he was in the movie, I mean, that's kind of how he was.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, he wanted to be the ruler over a lot of people. But, I mean, how it is presented in the movie where he wanted to have Sparta, you know, they could keep their land, you know, and their way of life. All they had to do was just worship him. And that's pretty much how it was. He's
yeah.
like, you know, you can keep your way of life.
Basically what every king wants, he wants to be worshipped. Well, back then, to get more and more people to worship them, they would conquer lands across... Look at, who was it, Napoleon?
Yeah, Napoleon was like that.
And then there are so many people like that. It's just, I guess it's in their blood. They want to conquer. It's just how they see it. They see the more people worship them, the more respect they have, the more honor they have, the more, like, how it causes the ego to grow and grow and grow to basically cause them to think they're gods.
See, and that's very true, but I see the thing that I think is different from Xerxes to other kings is that mostly other kings would go in and they would make you completely change your way of life.
Mm-hmm.
But Xerxes says you can keep your way of life, keep, you know, doing your regular thing. The only thing you have to do is just worship me. That's it. But other kings would be like, you know, all your land is mine. You know, you have to leave your land and go live somewhere else.
It wasn't just the queens. It wasn't just the kings. You have to think about Queen Mary, whoever had the different religion than she did, she would go crazy on them.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying specifically kings. I'm just saying any hierarchy. That's how Xerxes is different, because that's really how he was. He was just like, do your own thing, just worship me. And that's, you know. And I felt that was kind of fairly presented in the 300 movie, because he says it, you know. He's like, you know, just because when the messenger comes and says, I offer, you know, food and water, is what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's just pretty much it. You know, that's all they have to share. They give some of their crops to the Persian army or something like that. But I don't think 300 was completely off the mark, you know.
I love 300.
I'm sorry, but it's
just
such an incredible movie.
Oh, the best part, though, after... That the woman was the wife after she was raped, and they were in front of the court, was it?
Mm-hmm.
The court of the kings or whoever they were. The council.
The council, yeah.
Saying something, and then she stabs, he says something to her, and she stabs him and says,
you will not enjoy this?
Yes, you will not enjoy this. She stabs him right in the gut. I was just like, it was pissing me off. I'm like, slap, slap, slap him, kill him, do something. Kick him in the hole.
and you know, and usually in movies like that, I don't really care for the female character. Usually,
yeah, but this one you have to. Just how much power she has.
Yeah, and how strong she is, though. You know.
Yeah.
Because you know she's left alone. She knows her husband's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just impossible odds, you know. And she has a family that she has to take care of, but she also has this entire council that is against her. Because you know they didn't like the way that Leonidas was running Sparta, and they didn't like the fact that he just marched off and went to war. That was against their principles. And you know she is supporting her husband, therefore the council pretty much turns on her, and they have no reason to support her at all. Because she goes against their views, but then they have the traitor that comes in, you know, and he's been a jerk the whole movie. And the whole movie, you're hoping that, you know, he gets stabbed. And I really like that same part, too. Oh, we also have another call coming in. Right as I talk.
Can I introduce her? Can I say hi and stuff?
If you would like to, sure.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for calling Family Tower. This is Bridget, you are?
Hey, Bridget, this is Samantha again.
Hey.
Hi, Samantha.
Hi, Elaine. How you doing?
Been doing pretty good.
Nice. Bridget, I have some concerns to talk to you about.
Yeah, what's up?
Orlando Bloom being a coward in Troy? Are you nuts?
I don't like Orlando Bloom.
How could you not like Orlando Bloom? He's fighting. He's trying to protect his true love.
He cowered away from the guy. He crawled on the ground to his brother.
There's nothing wrong with wanting to live. He knew he was outmatched.
I don't like Orlando Bloom.
Isn't that funny? Her only defense is, I don't like Orlando Bloom.
Gosh, she doesn't have anything to say to support why he's a coward.
He was crawling on his hands and knees with his brother. I say more.
But like I said, there's nothing wrong with wanting to have your life and save your life.
Yeah, but I think you have to fight to save your life.
He did fight in the end.
Okay, Lane.
The only thing I have to say about that is that when he and Helen, you know, he took Helen with him. He and his brother Hector tells him, he's like, you know, you've started a war. You know, and he's going to have to face up those consequences, and then when those consequences come and he runs away, that's what I think Bridget's trying to say.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, the consequences are coming after him and he's kind of like crawling away. I can understand what you're saying too, Samantha. You're supporting a very good topic, you know. But then again, you know, it's like he needs to face up to what he started, because he started.
But, you know, he does. He doesn't. In the beginning, he does kind of quiver, but.
Does, kind of.
But he is not. He's not a coward.
He was on the floor crying.
You can't compare him to like Brad Pitt and stuff in that movie, because you can't. Brad Pitt in the movie is like a god.
Yeah, Brad. Well, then again, Achilles, you know, was considered a god, but then again, he did battles before. He knew how to fight.
And
Paris wasn't raised like that. Paris was.
Yeah, he was a prince. He's not. He was never trained to fight and anything. So. Anybody would act the same way, so I don't know, you know.
I just
think you should.
That Orlando Bloom was playing him. See, if it was any other actor, I wouldn't have noticed anything, but it was Orlando.
So you're just being biased.
Yes, I was. I think I was for that.
It's not even the fact of his character, it's the fact of who he is. So you think he's a coward in, like, Pirates of the Caribbean and you know, Kingdom of Heaven and stuff like that?
You know what's funny, though? She really, really liked Orlando Bloom in the third Pirates movie.
Yes, I did.
Oh, me too.
See, Bridget is very complicated like that.
Bridget, I will give you credit. Anybody, if anybody said they didn't like Orlando Bloom in the third movie, they are nuts. I mean, come on, even guys had to admit he was hot in that third movie.
He come up on
Yeah. He and, you know, and it's funny because I started off not, like, really caring for him either because, you know, I'm like, oh, he's just a pretty face, blah, blah, blah. But then he proved
Lord
his worth as an actor. Yeah.
Lord of the Rings, he was kicked butt in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I agree, too. I'm like, he was just awesome. I loved it. I'm a fan of Orlando Bloom.
Thank you. I think he is a strong actor. And even him cowering away in Troy, he proved that he could pull up to that challenge.
Maybe it's because he's a coward in real life.
Because Bridget, you have to amend every single movie he's in. He is like a good warrior. He's strong.
Now, I have another question for you, Samantha, okay? And I'm not trying to, like, stir up anything because I agree with you so far on Troy about him. The part where, you know, Achilles is with his girl, I forgot her name, when he actually just goes and shoots Achilles in the heel. Now, is that fair, too? Because the girl is going, you know, I love him, don't shoot him, but then he shoots him anyways.
I think it depends on where you look at it. I mean, think of what he did, Achilles did to his brother. Anybody would want vengeance. Doesn't matter who's screaming at you not to do it. So,
yeah,
you know.
Did he know that his brother killed his cousin? I always forgot that. I didn't know if he knew that he killed his cousin or not.
I didn't really pay attention to the movie, so I'm going to stay quiet over here.
Okay.
If Orlando Bloom knew that his brother killed Achilles' cousin?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he did.
I was going to say that because I don't remember that.
In all defense, his Hector, he didn't kill his cousin like on purpose. He didn't know who he was.
Yeah, exactly.
He was in battle and the kid came running at him. I mean, if someone's running at you with a sword, you're not going to be like, wait a second, who are you? I'm not fighting you. You know.
Well, yeah, I can understand that now because if he didn't know, then I can see why, because he just thought Achilles just killed his brother. So now I can understand that now. That's why I was asking the question. I was like, I don't remember.
Yeah,
okay. But like I said, I'm on your side. I agree. I like Orlando Bloom and everything.
Thank you.
So.
I just think what Bridget said was a little off of what, you know, it should be, and she should figure it out a little bit. Because to me, he's still a hero. You gotta, even in Troy, you know, he still killed Achilles, and Achilles is supposed to be unbeatable.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I definitely, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, what do you think of that, Bridget?
What?
I'm trying to have a conversation with you, and I'm trying to, you know, get your guys,
to me. You know, when you guys started talking about the movie, I didn't know. I didn't really pay attention to the movie, so.
That's okay. I understand. That's okay.
Yeah, when we went our own little way, Bridget kind of stayed behind.
Did our side road.
Isn't it hear me singing in the background?
Oh, was that you? That was lovely.
Yeah, that was me.
But that's just my thoughts, so. All right, you guys are doing great. I'll talk to you later.
All right, thank you for calling.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Ooh, Bridget slammed. Bridget!
I told you I was going to piss people off.
Well, see, but what Samantha said, I do agree. You know, but then again, I guess I don't count, though, because I am an Orlando Bloom fan, but.
We need another Orlando Bloom hater on here. Get some guys. Where's Matt and Domino?
Well, see, I think it was Matt that said he liked Orlando Bloom in the third Pirates movie, and then he's really mad that they weren't going to have him again, you know?
Yeah, it was him. But where are they calling? Why aren't they calling?
I do, though. I really, really appreciate Samantha calling, you know, and addressing that fact. Because, you know, at first, you know, I agreed with Bridget, but once Samantha came out and presented it the way she did, I kind of saw it from a different view, and I was like, oh, okay, you know, I can understand, because he's fighting to live. I understand that now. I just, from what I said, you know, I just wish, you know, he would have faced his consequences. But then again, you know, he's not a fighter to begin with. He was definitely more lover than fighter, so I can understand. Because I'm pretty sure if I was stuck against Menelaus, and I had a brother that could kick his butt, I would definitely crawl behind him, too. But, we're sorry, Bridget. It's not Bridget hate on the show, we promise.
Damn.
I'm sorry, Bridget.
I'm still saying, where's Matt and Domino? They said they were going to call. They didn't call last week. There's no excuse.
But I can understand last week, because it was Father's Day. And once again, I want to wish everybody who was with their fathers, just happy Father's Day last week. I did get some emails that said people were out with their fathers for Father's Day, so I can understand. But also, if anybody has anything to say about our Harry Potter show, they are more than welcome to say that, too. I mean, we're going to be on here for a little while since we're getting such wonderful feedback. I really like listeners that kind of come in, you know, and present something like that to me. That, because it makes me think, you know, and it makes me kind of change my view. And I go, oh, okay, I can see it from your view now. I understand what's going on. So I really do appreciate stuff like that. So any other listeners, you know, Samantha, you can call in too, again, if you'd like. If you feel like you need to say anything else, that's cool. We're more than happy to sit here, you know, and chat about it if you have anything you'd like to say. We really appreciate anything.
Or if you have any other movie besides Sword and Sandal movies, like do you want to talk about Harry Potter or Pirates?
Yeah. If any of the shows that you've heard before and you weren't able to call in and give your own view, you're more than welcome. I mean, because, you know, even if you call us, you don't have to, you know, I mean, you can talk about our topic, but you don't have to, you know, stay on the topic. You can talk about Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings or Pirates, whatever.
You
want
to talk about the Rings, or you can talk about Faramir or Boromir.
we're leaving our Lord of the Rings show for like a whole separate show, and it's probably going to be me by myself, because I doubt anybody wants to be on a show with me talking about Lord of the Rings.
No, I'll talk about Lord of the Rings, especially with Gimli. Gimli is my buddy. Aragorn, I get Aragorn. Aragorn's all mine.
I do. I mean, we're going to have to do a Lord of the Rings show, because those being my favorite movies of all time, I got to talk about them. I love them.
We should do a favorite movie of all time show, like two favorite movie of all times and then favorite books, and then Twilight book.
You, like I said, tomorrow, please bring me those books so I can read them and get in this stuff.
So you're going to pick me up from work and then we can go to Tim's?
Yep.
Okay. See you then.
But anyway, we'll keep talking. About 300. I think that's a very excellent movie. And it is, you know, it is very gory. But then again, and I even said this before, we had a podcast show before we actually started doing radio shows, and we actually dedicated half of that show to 300. Because we had gone and saw 300 and then came home and did a podcast show all about it. And a lot of, you know, the negative comments I heard about it was that it was too gory, there was too many beheadings, you know, it was just too... I even heard somebody say it was just too funky.
Who said it's too funky? They have to have a history. Well, see, if you want to see that movie, you have to be interested in, like, Gladiator.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, you're going into this thing knowing it's about a battle. I mean, it's not going to be, like, you know, not a battle. They're going to have beheadings because that's just how it was. If you're going to put 300 men against, like, a million men, things are going to happen. And it ain't going to be very pretty. I can tell you that right now.
But still, 300 Spartan men, basically in their underwear, a shield, and a cape. Oh.
Yeah. But that movie was very well done, I thought. I really, really enjoyed it.
Well, see, my brother, Billy, he's a huge history buff. And he just saw the previews, and he's like, I want to see it. He never got a chance to see it. So I know
really? When
he gets out, he's going to be freaking out. He's so excited. He's always done all his reports. When he was in school, he did reports always about Spartan Army.
That's awesome. See, because I'm sort of a history buff myself. You know, and I usually do. I like to read about movies, say, like Troy or 300, and I like to read about the background of it first. So then, you know, I go into the movies with a sense of knowing what's kind of going on. I don't know, and I think that kind of gives you a deeper level of understanding of the movie as well. Because seeing, you know, as long as the movie sticks to the actual plot and everything, you can understand what's going on. You know why characters are doing what they're doing, you know, and you can see what's going on, you know, the interactions with them and everything. So I really like that. Oh, Bridget, I just feel so bad you got slammed. I'll give you a hug, Bridget.
Hey, Lee.
Yeah?
I was just thinking about what Samantha said the first time she called, how the books, well, how I kind of brought up too, the book signing for Twilight and for Eclipse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as soon as you finish reading those books, you're going to want to come.
Okay.
And
she said it's in Tempe. Okay, well, I'll have to go then. I also want to know, is Samantha, I take it that she likes Harry Potter, if she would like, if she's doing anything for when the book comes out, if she would like to come over to the Borders at the Superstition Springs Mall, our show, Astronomy Tower Hour, is going to be there, probably most likely doing a live show while we're waiting for the book to come out. So if she wanted to stop by and meet us and talk about the books, she's more than welcome to. And that goes for Matt and Domino as well,
yes,
if they'd like to stop by. Because I really think they are from Arizona. I'm not sure, though, but I could be wrong. But since Samantha is from Arizona, she's more than welcome to come and visit us. We would love to, you know, have some more Harry Potter fans. We're trying really hard to just have a huge Harry Potter bash on that day. I took the day off from work, you know, we're dressing up, it's just going to be a party, so we're definitely ready. Oh, and that also goes to say, Bridget and I also went to Pottercast, came by, what was it, Thursday? Yeah, it was Thursday. No, Friday they came by, and Bridget and I and my sister, who called in earlier, were lucky enough to go. And let me tell you, it was so much fun to, you know, see other Harry Potter people in the same area as us, you know. And it also inspired us because we were a podcast and now we're a radio show. It kind of inspired us to, you know, could we get some fans together and talk about the same things? Even though I know we probably won't ever get as huge as Pottercast is, but it would still be fun, you know, to just kind of travel around and do those types of things. Meet other people. I love to meet new people.
A people person. I still think...
That's why I like going to those midnight showings of movies and stuff. I love to do that.
Yeah, we talked to them last time. I almost gave them a coffee, but they didn't want my coffee. So I just put it down, remember? They gave me an extra coffee. And I was like, anybody want this? No. Okay. And I'm like, Podcast kind of dissed my question I asked them.
Oh, we have a call coming in. Bridget, would you like to take it?
Sure.
Okay.
Did you answer it?
There you go.
Hey, thanks for calling Astronomy Tower. This is Bridget and Lane. Who are you?
This is Samantha again.
Hi, Samantha.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Do you like Harry Potter?
I love Harry Potter. That's exactly what I was calling in to talk to you guys about.
Okay.
I think you guys will get as big as that podcast. You guys just... It starts out small, and then you'll get bigger. I mean, word will get around, and, you know, who knows? And
yeah, that's
I just want to tell you, Lane, you are really good. I mean, you almost sound like a professional radio person.
Oh,
really? Wow, thank you. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. So have you guys gotten your thing for the book yet? You pre-order it?
I did.
Yeah, we have. We've pre-ordered it. Like, I don't know, did you hear when we invited you to come visit us?
I did. I will be there.
Okay. Yeah. That's the Borders that we went and pre-ordered our books.
Yep.
So if you want to come and hang out with us, definitely, man. We are so ready to party. So.
Oh, I will be there. I mean, have you guys had any theories? I wanted to know this, and I talked to other people about it, but none of them can really, you know, is as into it as I am. So I was wondering if you guys have any theories on, one of the three main characters dying in the seventh book.
See, Podcast kind of dissed that question I asked them. I think they're going to die. I think one of them's going to die, and I hope Harry dies. I don't know why, but I want Harry to die.
When we went to the actual Pottercast, Bridget went up to them, and she's like, do you think one of the trio is going to die? And all of them were like, no, they're not going to die.
Yeah.
But, see, for me, I don't know. I just, as I'm reading the books, you know, I'm like, I want somebody to die because I feel that gets the story more across, you know? That just, I don't know. I don't know.
Well,
it's either Ron or Harry's going to die, but everybody
tells
me Ron can't.
I almost wonder if it's not going to be Ron.
Nah. I mean, if it was Ron, I'd see him as being a target of dying.
Yeah, just Harry.
But I don't know.
I found an article on the computer just a little bit ago, and it was testing whether or not Harry Potter is going to end.
And what?
Like, they're saying he's going to be the one to die in the final book.
Hope he is, just because it'll make so much sense. It'll be so simpler just to have him say that he's dead now, and that the books make more sense the way it ends. But maybe it's going to be a double suit, like a double murder, like Voldemort will die, and then so will Harry.
That's what I was thinking as well. Because to me, you have to have at least one of them die, otherwise that series, the story's never going to end. It's never going to, you know, be finished.
And you can kind of tell just by her writing, I hate to say this, that she's kind of dragging it out. Like, she's
yes.
not, like, she's somewhat losing interest as she writes. Because I knew at the beginning of the sixth book, I didn't really care for it. It was towards the end that I really started to like it a lot.
Well, see, for me, answering your question on whether, you know, Harry Potter, if he's just going to die at the end, I think it would be better for him to die in a sympathetic way, because I think I said this in the last show, because Voldemort is somehow a part of him, and if he's going to kill that part, you know, of Voldemort and then that part, I mean, how is he going to be as a person? For me, if that was me, I would be the most messed up person I know.
Well, to me, he's already messed up.
Oh,
Harry
yeah,
Potter,
definitely.
He's not. He's never going to be like a normal witch or wizard. He's already messed up in the head. I mean, you can tell in the books by his anger spells, his sudden mood swings are out of control. And, I mean, that's the start. That's how you can tell he's going to lose it.
Yeah.
And I almost wonder if Voldemort and him aren't somehow going to, you know, he's going to, like, get with him or something's going to happen, at least with Malfoy or something.
I think Malfoy's going to be running from Voldemort because he was the one meant to kill Dumbledore, but he didn't. So I think he's going to have to pay the price for it. Even though Snape did it, he's still going to have to pay the price because he flinched. It took him a while. He couldn't do it. So I think probably Voldemort's going to punish him.
I don't think he'll be on the run just because of how high up his dad is.
See, well, from now of how intense the story's getting, is Voldemort really just going to stop everything he's doing to start running after Draco? I think he's, like, too into it now where he's like, you know what, Draco, he's just going to toss that aside and be like, you know what, I've got Harry now. Harry's my main concern. I'm not even going to worry about the Malfoy kid. I'm just going to take care of Harry now and end this now.
I think Voldemort, like what you said, kind of in the same, is he's gonna stop playing his little trick games that he's been doing, you know, where he sends people after Harry instead of doing it himself.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's actually, this time, is going to be like, it's going to be a chase.
Oh, yeah, Voldemort is after you, and so, woo!
So what do you think is going to happen to Snape? Since, well, I was the nice one who got Snape as a good pin when I was at Pottercast. What's your opinion on Snape?
I think he's a sleazeball.
I mean,
I know what he did for Malfoy was is in some way good, but he betrayed so many people to help the most evil, like the evilest person in the world.
Well, he kind of had no choice about it. He made that pact with What's-Her-Face, well, Draco's mom, about how he would protect Draco. He had no choice but to do it. But he also could have been...
Yeah, but that doesn't explain him serving Voldemort at the same time.
Yeah, there's no reason... And something was always going on with Snape that, you know, you could always just tell somehow he was never good.
Just while we're talking about Snape, I'm thinking about the actor as well. I mean, like, he did an amazing job portraying, he's doing an amazing job portraying being Snape. And, like, how I visualize Snape is how the actor plays Moth. Anybody else think that?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Alan Rickman's portrayal of Snape. Honestly, I can't think of a better person.
Yeah. I really don't like him as
Dumbledore.
Yeah. I don't know. See, I wish I could really get into the whole Snape thing, but I'm like, now that the seventh book is getting so close, I can't say, because I've heard so many things, and my little wavering thing has gone on, and I'm like, okay, I think he's good. No, he's out for himself. No, now he's bad. No, now I think he's good, because so many people...
Well, I don't think he's out for himself or anything like that, and I think his intentions are good. He's doing them the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with that. I really think that, too. He has got good intentions, but he's just backwards.
Hopefully, maybe in the seventh book, he'll, you know, help. But I don't think, I think Harry Potter is going to kill him in the seventh book.
I think Harry's going to kill him.
Mm-hmm. I think Harry's going to go on a rampage.
I think they're both going to die. Why did you get all quiet when I said that?
See, I think Snape's going to die. I don't think necessarily at the hands of Harry. I was thinking more...
I thought you guys were talking about Harry and Voldemort. Sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. Maybe if Snape turns out to be good, maybe a Death Eater or Voldemort himself kills Snape because he's like, what, you betrayed me? And then, you know, does him in. I don't know if necessarily Harry will do it, but it would make sense because Harry has such an insane hatred for Snape, even more so now that he just saw Dumbledore killed before his eyes. But I wish I knew what to say, but seventh
book. I don't wonder if they're not going to be going to, if school is going to close because of Dumbledore's death now.
No,
now
I think
there's a way to protect it.
No, I think they're going to keep it open just because McGonagall said that, you know, Dumbledore would have wanted the school to be open.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I can see because the level of danger is so incredibly high now. Why on earth would they want kids in this school? Because Hogwarts has been broken into and everything. But I think it might stay open, but Harry and the trio won't go to school.
Yeah.
What do you guys feel on the movies? Like, how do you feel about how the directors are portraying the books through the movies?
I like the first director. The very first director they had was the best of them all. The new ones, I don't care for.
Yeah, I agree with her. I loved Chris Columbus's with the first two movies.
Mm-hmm.
The third one I like because it is, you can sense that more darker.
Yeah, you can see it's darker, but they took it,
I don't like Goblet of Fire. I don't know what it is. I wish I could back that up, but something about it just, I didn't really care for the way it was done.
Way, huh?
I mean, there's parts of it that I really do like. I guess it's just because they left out so much that I really had wanted, I looked forward to seeing on the screen and I didn't get to. Maybe that's why I didn't like it so much. Or maybe because of the way they looked, because I didn't like Harry's long hair either. So
I don't like his new haircut.
That's like, I have to agree with both of you. I loved the first director. He made the movies look exactly like the book to me.
Yeah, I agreed, yeah.
But the third book is my favorite book.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it no justice. I mean, that's like one of the biggest turning points in Harry Potter's life, and they barely did anything to show, you know, him at all. You know, meeting his godfather and
I'm surprised because that part's such a big point in the book, like as far as with Sirius and the whole Marauder thing when it comes into play, and they like barely touch the surface.
They never even show them sneaking out to go see him or anything. Like, I think the thing that irritated me the most was like they would do stupid, instead of actually giving good points, they would do, like, you know, scenes that didn't make any sense, like a big clock, or they kept showing the tree, which, I mean, yeah, the tree was a big part of the movie, but they could have shown it, you know, a couple times. They didn't have to keep replaying it over and over through the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What did you think of Goblet of Fire?
I thought it was much better than the third one, because to me, the third one is the worst movie I've ever seen.
Okay.
Out of all the Harry Potters. I mean, that director was awful. I can't stand the movie. I thought it was good for the amount of time they had to try and portray the book.
Yeah, just
the fourth book is so big and has so much detail that it would take like, it would be like a 5-hour movie if they could, which I wouldn't mind. I'd watch it, but
oh heck yeah, me too.
Lord of the Rings unedited.
But I don't, I mean, as much as they could get in there, I mean, they hit the highlighted points. I was glad at least with some of that. But I think there could have been more in it
mm-hmm.
than there was. And I know that I don't like the Dumbledore they picked for
neither do I.
These movies. First one died, but may he rest in peace. But the new Dumbledore, he's way too young.
Mm-hmm.
He seems way too crazy. Goblet of Fire, and I know all the other podcasts say this, when he comes running in and grabs Harry and starts shaking him, and he's like, did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire? I'm like, what is that?
Dumbledore would not lay
his hands on you and shake you today.
Come on, can anybody picture Dumbledore running downstairs? I mean, come on, he's supposed to be like 100 years old.
Yeah.
He's an old, fragile, really wise, all-knowing man. To me, this new Dumbledore seems like a child. He seems like he doesn't really know very much.
Yeah. Well, besides the fact that the actor hasn't read the books, so.
Has he really hasn't?
No, he has not read the books.
If you are going to be an actor for Harry Potter, you better have those books memorized.
I know. I'm like, well, wait a minute. You think you might want to start reading these books, you know?
I remember hearing that the trio, they didn't read it first, but they started to read it when they became the characters, just to know what was coming up. Because I remember Daniel Radcliffe saying he was reading the book and said he had to wear a dress. He's like, I have to wear a dress?
But see, you can tell once the actors have, in those who have read and those who haven't, you can tell by the way they are on screen.
They act.
So much like their characters, it's insane.
Mm-hmm.
But those who aren't, you're kind of like, they're out of place. But I've heard, though, that the guy who's the new Dumbledore is much better in the fifth movie, so we'll cross our fingers.
Hopefully he has a lot to make up for.
Yeah, because the fourth one was just shaking head the whole time.
When he ran in, I was like, oh my goodness, this is not how.
Dude, a half an hour show went to an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah. We'll see, but we have awesome. Oh, and I also have a question for you, Samantha. You know the king in Troy,
mm-hmm.
King Priam? Do you think he would be a good Dumbledore?
Actually, I think so. And I also think either Gandalf the Grey, I think he would have been a good Dumbledore.
Yeah, see, me and Lane were saying this the other day when I was with her for a podcast, that I was saying that the guy from X-Men, which is the same guy, correct?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, isn't he the same guy in... Isn't Gandalf the Grey the same guy, the king? Isn't he the king as well? Or is that a different man?
That's a different guy.
No, the king is, what's his name? No, it's a different guy. I'll think of his
name. Okay. Because I know he plays another movie. But I think they could have chose somebody a lot better. And how big Harry Potter is,
money shouldn't have been
an obstacle, and that's probably what it was when they hired this new Dumbledore.
Yeah. Well, even that, I mean, I have heard so many people say the exact same thing where they don't like him. I'm like, why is nobody enforcing him that, you know, he should be, you know, that or just kick him out and get a new person for crying out loud.
Because to me, their whole thought is, it probably is, you guys are still coming to see the movie, so... It's money in our pockets. It's not, you know, they don't probably have as much, you know, love in the books and the movies as, like, you know, the fans do.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, wow. See, it's just depressing talking about that because they kind of care, but they care more about money, and it's kind of sad like that.
Unfortunately, it's like Hollywood, so... And I have to agree with Bridget. I will be very interested to read 7 because it does seem like her interest is kind of starting to diminish with this. Like she's getting tired of writing the book.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, when the major parts come in, she's really interested. This is like
the part where, you know, it's not the climax of the book yet. She's, you know, just kind of like, you know.
She drags it out a bit.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's what I didn't like about the sixth book is because, I mean, I thought the Spinner's End thing was pretty interesting, but everything from then until Draco lets the Death Eaters in, I was like, okay, it was slow. There was nothing going
Very
on.
Very slow.
I crawled.
Normally, I can read the Harry Potters in like a day, and the sixth one took me like 3 days to read just because it was starting to get kind of boring, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I already, you know, we already know this. You don't need to keep reiterating it. I'm pretty sure anybody who's reading the sixth book right now has pretty much read the other ones 2 to 3 times, you know?
Yeah.
At least.
Nobody's going to pick up the 6th book of Harry Potter and just start reading it if they have no idea what the first 5 were about.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, well, well, see, let's just hope the first page of the 7th book is automatically a battle and it just keeps going from there. I hope it makes you think. I hope it keeps you going, because I'm going to be really mad if it's slow and then at the very end of
it. If she doesn't, she has to end this book with a bang. I'll be very curious to see how long this book is going to be.
Yeah, because when they say it's like 784 pages, I'm like, that's smaller than Order of the Phoenix, and I don't know.
Well, and she has so much to wrap up.
Yeah.
With this last book. I mean, this is the very last book. You have a lot of loose ends you need to, you know, you need to all have them come into one place.
Well, she did say, though, that she was going to leave something open, so I'm like, oh, crap, what is she going to leave open? I hope it's nothing that's going to make you, you know, your brain explode, because you have to know.
You're always trying to think of what she was going to do.
You're hoping she does me with her writing what I do with mine, huh?
Oh, yeah. Bridget has a tendency to like, do a cliffhanger ending when she writes fanfics, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm just hoping that Joe isn't like that.
I
want to see
a murder story, and I leave the murderer out.
Yeah. The whole ending was just kind of like, and blah, 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 and then it ended, and I was like, what? You know? No! So I hope it's not like that. I want to at least be satisfied enough to where I felt like, all right, this is a good series, you know? I went through the journey, it ended well, and I'm happy.
And I did hear from somebody, I'm not sure if it was a rumor or not, maybe you guys can tell me a little bit more, that she's going to, at the very end, tell about what kind of goes on with their lives afterward. Did you guys hear about that at all with the podcasting thing you went to or anything like that?
Yeah, she is going to be doing an epilogue at the very end, which kind of sums up what happens to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard that's definitely going to be, I guess that's the last chapter of the...
See, to me, like, with the, and I don't know, it's probably just my imagination roaming, is I have a feeling Harry is going to die, just because showing what their lives are going to be like without him.
Yeah.
How peaceful everybody is going to be with him and stuff. Gone.
Yeah. I definitely agree. I'm going back to what I said before about him just not being able to leave a normal life, it's just, that's what I think. He won't be able to be a normal person.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to always be a part of him, you know, that's gone because that part was filled with Voldemort. And, yeah, he'll just be a messed up person more than he already is. Yeah. But, yeah, cross our fingers, hope it's a good book.
I'm hoping. So are you guys going to, you guys doing, will definitely do a podcast on the 7th book after you receive it, or?
Oh, big time. It's going to be a very long show.
We're going to be doing a live show. When we're getting the book, we're doing a live show when we're at the movie, right?
Yeah, we're going to be doing one at the 5th movie.
And then
we'll do one at the...
probably do one when we finish the book.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
We're hoping, though, that, you know, Borders will let us stay in there and read it, and then we can automatically start doing a show with people that have also finished it, and we're, like,
I'm sure at Borders, you guys are talking... Are you talking about the one at Superstition Springs Mall?
Yes, ma'am.
You can go probably into the Seattle's Best and sit there and buy yourself a coffee and just sit there and read it.
Okay.
And I don't think
we'll definitely be doing that.
Wow. I mean, it's a bookstore. Aren't you supposed to read in a bookstore? Sort of?
Yeah, something like that.
So I was just calling to give you guys my point of view on that and see what you guys have thought, because it's kind of been, I'm getting very excited, and nobody else has really been able to talk to me about it, so I wanted to see what your guys' thoughts were.
Oh, hey, we love to hear from... We like thoughts like that. It makes us talk more, so. And it makes us think more, too.
Yes, ma'am.
Because, honestly, we really don't get anybody, you know, that wants to talk to us, like, as much as you do, and we really like that, because we're huge fans, too, and we love to talk about Harry Potter all the time. So, if
me,
there's anything else...
Me,
you
too.
If you've got anything else that you want to talk about, you can call in. We're always on Sundays at 10 o'clock to 11,
Okay. Or
longer than that if you want. We usually can run for 2 hours, so.
Definitely when you guys finish, when you read, Lane, when you read Twilight and New Moon, you will probably hear from me the whole entire night. I kid you not, you will love those books.
Okay, well, so most likely next Sunday's show will most likely be about that. If you want to go ahead, you can probably join us and talk about it. Be a host and join us if you'd like.
Okay.
Since you know more about it than I do right now, so you're more than welcome to call in, and we can get our other host on here, Jennifer, and we'll all talk about it, and it'll be just fun.
Okay, then.
So, yeah, Sunday at 10, if you're available, just call
of
on
course.
In. We'll let Jen.
All right, then. You guys have a good one.
You too. Thank you for calling.
All right, good. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, Lane, how about we just wrap up the show?
All righty. We thank Samantha so much for calling.
Yeah,
we really, really love to hear stuff like that. We love to talk about Harry Potter. Because I think we did our Sword and Sandal show some justice, don't you think?
Yes, ma'am.
Because Samantha talked to us for a good 20 minutes about Harry Potter.
Yes, she did.
And that's really awesome. We're very excited. Bridget apparently is hating on the show right now.
What?
Because we've only been on the air for an hour and 20 minutes.
Yep. Well, I say we shall.
Okay. So anyways, next Sunday then, we'll go ahead and we'll talk about Twilight and New Moon. Because I can guarantee everybody that with the way everybody's talking about it, I'll have read them and be just, like, screaming inside to want to talk about it. So we'll talk about that. We'll most likely have Samantha on to talk about it with us. And anybody else who's read the books and just needs to talk to somebody about it, please feel free to call in and talk to us. And check out our MySpace page, myspace.com/astronomy_tower_hour. Check back. We'll have any updates or anything that, you know, if we have to change something, we'll definitely let anybody know. And also check back on our Blog Talk Radio page for updates on what our next show is going to be, what times, and all that. So, Bridget, fulfilling show, what do you say?
I think we did a great job.
You know, you and I'm actually surprised. We did pretty well for it just being you and me.
What did we do last time? Talk about random movies and how I was eating strawberries?
Yeah, as soon as Jennifer left last time, you and I kind of went off on our own little thing, and we were talking about the most random things in the world. Like, you were playing your guitar, and then you were singing, and then you were eating, and I was playing on the computer, and I wasn't really paying attention. And
it was
funny, because when I went back and listened to it, I was like, oh, boy, anybody who listens to this is probably going, oh, my goodness, what is this? But I'm really happy that we were able to pretty much stay on topic, able to, you know, get some more Harry Potter questions out. And Samantha did a very, very awesome job talking about, you know, her viewpoints of Orlando Bloom and Troy. I felt that was very fairly presented, even though Bridget is shaking her head. But don't worry.
I was just laughing because I seen something funny.
Samantha, we definitely appreciate you calling. And we do. We love to hear from the listeners, and we will really be looking forward to seeing you at Borders at Superstition Springs. If you want to contact us at any time, or anybody for that matter, just email us at gondorian@poetic.com. That's gondorian@poetic.com. We check that all the time. That's our email. Just let us know. Be like, hey, I listened to the show. And tell us whatever, or get together if you guys want to come to a live show at the midnight showing for Harry Potter or the book party at Borders at Superstition Springs. We'll be looking forward to it. So, Bridget, ready to end the show?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
See you guys later. Hope you guys have all a good night.
Yeah, this has been Astronomy Tower Hour. Bridget and Lane, we're happy that we were able to do this show and that you guys were all here to listen to us. From all of us here at ETH, we want to wish you all a happy Sunday night and a good week. So,
okay.
See you all later. All
right.
Bye.
See you, Lane. Bye, Lane.
Bye.